They that worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. Today we're going to talk about worship. The last time I spoke, I was going to talk about worship, but one of our good brethren told me that I needed to talk about authority. So we talked about authority, which was good because that's the basis of everything. Should have taught that the first lesson. The authority is God's authority. Everything God says has to be just like He said it. He has all authority. He is sovereign. And as we talk about worship, He has all authority in worship. The word worship comes from an old English word which means worthiness. There's only one that's worthy of worship, and that's God. He always designates the worship that He will accept. So that's His authority. I'm going to give you a bunch of words, a few words, that is translated authority in the English language. I'd like to talk about these, but we're going to save a little time and go through them quickly. The first word which we usually hear of is the word proskuneo, which means that is a presence word. That's what you do right before the person you're worshiping. That's the reason the word is used 54 times, but only 7 of them in the epistles, because it's a presence word. It's what takes place right in the presence, because it means to bow before. Actually, the word, if you break it down, pros, kuneo, pros means towards, kuneo is the word for kiss. So you're kissing towards the one you're worshiping. You bow, prostrate yourself, and kiss the hand of Him. Another word is the word sabomai. The word sabomai is used 10 times, and it speaks of reverence. It stresses the feeling and the awe of devotion. There is false worship. Jesus used this word in Matthew 15:9 when He says, "In vain do they worship Me, teaching as their doctrine the precepts of men." They worship Him in vain. There's vain worship. There's also ignorant worship in false worship. Paul says when he's in Athens in Acts 17, in verse 23, he says, "As I went on my way, I observed the objects of your worship, and I found an altar with the inscription, 'Unto an unknown God.' What you worship in ignorance, that declare I unto you." There's also will worship, Colossians 2, verse 23. These things have a show of wisdom in humility, in will worship, humility and severity of the body, but are not of any value against the indulgences of the flesh. Another word is sebazomai. That word is similar to the word before, sabomai. It's only used one time. Paul uses that in Romans 1, verse 25, when he says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped, that's the word, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Another word is Eusebia. Eusebeo here. This is the verb. Eusebia is the noun. The word Eusebia is the noun of this verb, and that's the one when you read godly in the scriptures, it comes from this, from the noun of this word. This word is used twice. It's the one that I just mentioned in Acts 17:23, which speaks of their who they worship in ignorance, is this word. But the word we're going to talk about today comes from the word latruo, and the noun is latreia. That is used 21 times. It speaks of religious worship and is usually translated service, because it's talking about what you do in your life, in your daily life. So what we're talking about today is not what we're doing here in the assembly. This is the assembly type worship. What we're going to talk about is our daily life, I'm talking about every second of every day of every week, the life of a Christian that's lived for God. That comes from a passage that we all know well. Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. That's relating to the burnt offering, which we'll talk about a little more. Christians' total life are to be a life of worship. It is a life of worship, your total life. All that is done to the glory of God is worship. There is corporate worship, assembly, like we're doing here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about daily life, a life of worship. Nothing that a Christian does, whether it's in our thought, in our speech, in our action, nothing that a Christian does should be outside of the framework of giving glory to God. Everything in our life is to give glory to our God, or service to the Lord. Worship is not accidental. Worship is something we purpose to do. It's something we decide to do. It's something we offer up to God. Worship is that which is directed towards God. That means whenever we're talking about a daily worship, that means whenever you do whatever you do with the purpose of offering up to God as a sacrifice. You don't do it accidentally. If you're washing the dishes, you ladies, if you're washing the dishes and you're grumbling about it, that's not worship. Complaining about what you're doing isn't worship. But offering it up to God is worship. It's holy. It's holy work that you do. A good many of the signs that we see before church buildings, or a good many of the bulletins, they'll use the word worship, and they're talking about the assembly. And when you use words that way, when people's mind, when they say worship, what do they think of? What takes place right now. And that makes them miss the very point of worship. On our bulletin is better. Our bulletin says service, 10 o'clock. And then it says fellowship meal. And then it says Bible class. And I'm not criticizing that, but if it were me, I would say assembly. Because all three of those are worship. There's the assembly worship, there's the fellowship meal worship, and there's the Bible class worship. It's all given to God. And it's all for the purpose of glorifying God. Therefore, it's all worship. When we speak about worship, people think that's what takes place here. We use our language wrong often. When somebody says comes up to you and asks you, what time do you worship? What's he wanting to know? If somebody asks you what time you're worshiping, please look at your clock and say, well, I'm worshiping right now. Now we assemble at 10 o'clock for corporate worship. But if you weren't worshiping when you drove into here, you're probably not worshiping now. Because worship is a life of a person given to God. It is a full-time life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You notice I underline the word present. Because that word is translated from the original word, which is a technical term meaning to present a Levitical sacrifice. That is the technical word, present. When they brought an animal, a bull, a goat, or a ram, or birds, whatever it was, the first thing they did was they presented it to God. That is a sacrifice. It's going to be offered up. The word sacrifice is also the Levitical sacrifice. It is directed towards God. This is a direct reference from Leviticus 1, which is talking about the burnt offering. The burnt offering was brought, whatever it was. And it was brought and presented to God. Once that takes place, the man lays his hand on that animal and transfers himself, his life, into that animal. From that point on, that animal is his representative. Whatever happens to that animal is what actually, in actuality, is happening to him. And when he does that, then he kills that animal. Because he has put his wicked life into that animal, it kills it. And then the priest, after a few things, jumping over a few stages there, he puts that animal on the altar. And that animal in the burnt offering is totally consumed. There's nothing left. The whole animal goes up in smoke. And it is fumed up to God, and God says that's an odor of sweet smell. But when that guy that gave that bull or whatever it was to be offered, when he sees that smoke going up, what he sees is himself being dedicated to God totally. That animal is never taken off. Most every other sacrifice, the meat's eaten. What is sacrificed to most sacrifices, all the fat is offered to God. That's the best part of it. And then the meat is eaten by the priests and by the people that offer it. They all have a part in the sacrifice, but not in the burnt offering. The burnt offering, that whole animal is burnt up completely. There's nothing left. And that is the man that is offering himself in that animal to God, totally. That's what Paul's talking about. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's talking about total life. He's not talking about Sunday morning. He's talking about your total life. Everything you think, speak, or do is to be a total sacrifice to God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Holy, acceptable to God. The only way it can be acceptable to God is to be holy. Holiness is stressed. The offering is a priestly fashion, is in priestly fashion to God. It is holy. Leviticus 8, if we had time, we'd go read Leviticus 8. Good homework. When you go home, when you have time to sit down and think about what you're reading, read Leviticus 8 and see how holy the priest had to be. The whole chapter, 36 verses. Speak about the purification of Aaron and his sons. They come in to the tabernacle. They remain in that tabernacle. They are washed with water. They offer bulls. They offer rams and everything as sacrifices. All their clothes, their headgear, and everything has to be holy. And in verse 35, it tells us, "And at the door of the meeting they shall abide day and night, 7 days. 7 days. And keep the charge of Jehovah that they die not." Anything short of holiness in God's priests, he dies. Guess who the priests are today? That's us. Holiness. We know the passage, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. "As he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living, as it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy." That statement comes right out of Leviticus, what we're talking about. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, in Leviticus 19:2, in Leviticus 20, verse 7. Every one of them says just exactly what Peter says. You shall be holy, for I am holy. In chapter 21, he's talking about the priest and his life, who he can marry and everything else. And he says in verse 6, he says it. Verse 7, he says it. Verse 8, he says it. For thou shalt be holy unto Jehovah. God is serious about holiness and holy living. He's serious about that. And that is given up. He says, which is your spiritual worship. Many of your translations will say your spiritual service, because that's our word, latruo, that we're talking about, and it talks about a continual life, a continual life of service. And he says that's your spiritual service. That word in that passage is the noun latreia, and it speaks of worship. It speaks of ministration or divine service. It is translated worship in many passages, especially in the ESV, which is correct. In Philippians 3, verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision who worship, that's a word, in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In chapter 7 of Acts, Stephen's talking. When he gets down to verse 42, he says, and God turned and gave them up to the worship of the heavenly host. False worship. But the word is here. They were serving worship in the heavenly host. Paul tells us, as he's before the Roman councilman. He says in chapter 24 of the book of Acts, chapter 24 of Acts in verse 14, he says, but I confess that after the way which they call a sect, so worship I the God of our fathers. That's our word. God, Paul is talking about his total life of worship to God the Father. Hebrews 9 in verse 1 says, now either the first covenant had ordinances of divine service or divine worship, and his tabernacle of this world. He goes on down to verse 9 after he talks about what the priest did, offering sacrifices day by day, and the high priest once a year. He says in verse 9, these are a figure of the time present, according to that which is offered, both gifts and sacrifices, which can never, as touching the conscience, make the worshiper perfect. These are all the words we're talking about, the word we're talking about. It's a total life that we give to God. Worship is as wide as a Christian life. It's not what we do here only. It's everything you do, because your life is given to glorify God. Hebrews 13. Verse 15 says, through him then, that's the him is Jesus Christ. Through him then, let us offer up sacrifices of praise unto God continually. Offer sacrifices of praise continually. That is the fruit of the lips, to make confession to his name, and to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Use the word sacrifice, both verses. We offer up sacrifices of praise continually. How? Everything you say. To do good, all that you do. And the word communicate is the word usually translated fellowship. In all that we do in our fellowship to Ed, that we've offered the second time, everything we do, he says that is a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. In Colossians 3, wish we had time to read the chapter, but he starts out in verse 1, if you're raised together with Christ, set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Jesus, who is your life, shall be glorified, then shall you also be glorified with him. 5 to 7, he says 5 things to put to death. Your members from the earth, put to death. In 7 down through 10 or 11, he gives 6 things that you're to put away. In 12 down through 16, he gives you 7 things that you're to put on. And then he says in verse 17, whatsoever you do, what's that leave out? Leave anything out. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father. That's our whole life. Everything in word or in deed, whatsoever you do. And in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, Paul is discussing whether you can eat meat sacrificed to idols. And he sums it up in verse 31 of chapter 10, says, therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. He leaves nothing out. That's our total life. That is sanctified, that is given to our Lord Jesus Christ. The assembly which we're in right now is an absolute command. He says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembly yourselves together. If you miss this assembly, you're a sinner. Everybody that's a member of this congregation, when we meet at 10 o'clock in the morning, right here for this assembly, everybody's worshiping their God. If he's not here, guess what God he's worshiping? He's committing adultery. Because our bridegroom is the Lord Jesus. And when we miss this assembly, we're telling Lord Jesus we have another lover that's more important than he is. Because he commanded us to be here. But even at that, the measure of our faithfulness is not our attendance. When we use the word, we talk about a brother, well, old brother so-and-so, he's really faithful. What do we mean? Usually we mean he doesn't miss any of the assemblies. The assembly is not the measure of your faithfulness. Your life is. Your life. How you men treating your wife depends whether you're faithful to God or not. How you raising your children depends whether you're faithful or not. How are you working at your job? How are your relations with your friends that maybe not be Christians? That tells you whether you're faithful or not. The assembly is absolutely necessary, but it's not the measure of faithfulness. Your whole life is. Everything. There is no secular work to a Christian. We hear people talk about my secular job. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't have a secular job. You have a holy job. Because every job you have is something that God gave you so that you can be his light in the midst of the people around you. It's holy work. That's the reason he'll tell you in Colossians 3, verse 22 and following, down to about 25. Servants, obey in all things those that are masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, serving the Lord. Whatsoever you do, work heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance, you serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong will receive again the wrong that he's done, and there is no looking at faces. God does not recognize face. Anybody. He's talking about anybody. That's everybody. What is wrong? He that doeth wrong. In that passage, what's wrong? Not fully obeying your masters according to the flesh. I used to work on a railroad. And on a switching job, we could go up in the far tracks as we're switching boxcars and hide so we didn't have to work too much. That's a sin. He says you work hardly. Why does he give Christians jobs and tell them work hardly? Because it's not for your boss that you're working, it's for the Lord Jesus that you're working. And you're put there by the Lord Jesus in that job. I don't care whether you're an engineer, whether you're soldiers, whether you're students, or whatever you are. There, you are there. God puts you there so that the people around you can see how a Christian does everything. If you've got diseases, the purpose of that is so you can show other people how Christians deal with that. Because our whole life is given to Christ as a sacrifice. The end of Zechariah, that's chapter 14. The last two verses, 20 and 21. It says, the bales of the horses shall be marked holy unto Jehovah. All the pots and pans in the temple, holy unto Jehovah. And then he goes on to say, all the pots in Jerusalem and all the pots in all Judea are holy unto Jehovah. You men, go make yourself a stamp. You women could do it too. That says, holy unto Jehovah. And when you leave here, go up to your wife and stamp her on the forehead. Holy unto Jehovah. And stamp the forehead of all your children. They're holy unto Jehovah. And go into your house. Well, stamp the door of it. This house is holy unto Jehovah. And everything that takes place in this house is given to glorify God. Mark everything in the house. Stamp your cars. Stamp your trucks. Stamp your four-wheelers and your boats and your airplanes. They're all holy unto Jehovah. And use them for that purpose, to give glory unto God. God is concerned with our whole life, and he wants holiness. Quickly, worship is a daily act. In the Old Testament, worship took place in the temple. The Jews had to bring all their sacrifices to the temple in Jerusalem. There were not to be offered any place else, because in that tabernacle, or in the temple later, after Solomon built the temple, that's where God says, I dwell in the midst of my people. And all worship took place in the temple. But today, we are the temple. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, with your bodies. We are the temple. Every place we go, the place of worship is with us. Night and day, I don't care where you go, the place that is to be worshiping God is with us. And the second thing that took place, the sacrifice had to be offered by a priest. As I said before, the man brings in, he presents the animal, he kills the animal. From then on, the priest has to take over, because the priest stands between the sinner and God. But today, we are the priests. Today, he says, in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, he'll say, we are also a living stone, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. We are the priests. We are the one that offers the sacrifice. We're the place of worship. We're the person that offers the worship. Verse 9 in the same chapter, 1 Peter 2, you are an elect race. Everybody, you're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are the priests. And we are the burnt offering. Offer yourselves a living sacrifice. Leviticus 1:9. In the burnt offering, the priest shall offer the whole upon the altar for a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Jehovah. And in chapter 6, verse 9, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. The fire of the altar shall be kept burning thereon. Verse 13, fire shall be kept burning upon the altar continually. It shall not go out. That offering which Paul is talking about, your bodies, a living sacrifice, is totally consumed, just like that animal on that altar, given up to God. Our bodies are totally consecrated to the worship of God. Therefore, our daily life is vital to church growth. Our daily life amongst the people around us is vital to evangelism. We have to look like Jesus and sound like Jesus. That's the reason he say in verse 2, be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so we can think like Jesus, we can speak like Jesus, we can talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus, everything. And that brings joy to our life. In your jobs, which you might consider drudgery, to women who have to get up every morning and cook a meal, then wash the dishes, and at noon cook a meal and wash the dishes, supper cook a meal and wash the dishes. In between time, she gets to wash clothes and sweep the floor. Very exciting. But it's exciting if you offer it to God. Like I said, worship is intentional. When you wash in those dishes, remember, you're washing off food that God gave you. You're washing a dish that God gave you. You're doing it with running water. You probably even have hot water just to turn on. Everything is a blessing from God. Offer it up to God and know. When you offer to God, God smiles and says, that's a sweet offering, and that makes life worth living. If we can't walk and everything we do, we offer to God and we know that God smiles down on us and God says that's holy. And it's a sweet smell and I'm well pleased with it. If that don't make you rejoice, you're already dead. That makes our life worth living. The most joyful life in the earth. World. That's the reason Paul could say, rejoice always in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. But outside of Christ, there is no rejoicing. All that I've said today is because we have been by faith brought to Christ. We repent, we change our mind about life, want to live like Jesus. We accept him as Lord, and we take that man and bury him so that in baptism he comes in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, washes away all of his sins, he's raised so that he can live a life that we've been talking about this morning. a thrilling life offered to God and knowing God is well pleased. There may be some here that need to rededicate their lives to that purpose. Whatever your purpose, or whatever your problem, whatever your need is, make it known this morning. Whether you need to be baptized into Christ or whether you need to rededicate your life. Paul's going to lead us in a song. We're going to stand up and sing that song. If we can be of any help to you, come forward and let us know.